Billy Graham said this, "I'm not going to heaven because I preached to great crowds or read the Bible many times. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said in his last moment, 'Lord, remember me.'"
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's series, The Joy of Serving Jesus, from the New Testament Epistle of Philippians. Pastor's study continues today with the message simply titled, Heaven. Now here's Pastor.
Let's look at Philippians quickly before we go to the Lord in prayer. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, but let me just read to you a couple of verses here this morning. Where Paul the Apostle, he says this, "Brethren, join in following my example. Note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross." What a horrible thing. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things." Verse 20, our key verse this morning. "For our citizenship is where?" Say it one more time. Where is it at? "In heaven, praise the Lord, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the text before us this morning, the holy word, scripture of God. God breathed, O Lord. And I thank you this morning that you will teach through me exactly as you see fit to help the saints of God, the sheep of your pasture. You know every need of those here in the chapel and other areas of the church, every need of those online that are listening, Father. And we pray, and I pray, that only your perfect will is done in this service, and that all that we do brings glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just give you praise. We give you praise because heaven is truly our home, our final destination, because we have trusted in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we love you, we praise you in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. This morning we're going to talk about heaven. Isn't heaven a wonderful place? I've never been there. Have you? But we are going to be there one day. Now, some of you might be saying, I hope you're not. You might be going, you know, Bill, we started this epistle of joy written from prison by Paul in January, the first week of January. Now we're going into the fifth month of the year. And don't you think you've kind of been in it a long time? I hope that you're not feeling that way. Every time I teach through a book, did you know I just say, Lord, what do you want me to cover? I can cover less or more, but always let the Lord, that's his book, amen? And you know the thing about it is don't you love the Bible? Learning the Word of God? What's so wonderful is that every time I start getting close to the end, and I say this every time, the end of an epistle or a book of the Bible, I don't want to leave it. I just, you know, it's like you've made one of your best friends, amen? And that's what learning the Word of God is all about. And you know, we have that glorious outline, remember? We have these four chapters and the scriptures, and I'll not read all of them, but you know, it's 121, and it's 2:5, and it's 3:10, and it's 4:13 in the book of Philippians. Perfect divine outline. But not only that, it's a great epistle of joy, a wonderful letter. And this morning, we're going to look at heaven. Let me give you a few quotes before we get into our text. C.S. Lewis said this about heaven. He said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Isn't that a true word? Boy, at his right hand there are joys forevermore and evermore. Spurgeon said this about heaven. "There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below." Billy Graham said this. "I'm not going to heaven because I've preached to great crowds or read the Bible many times. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said in his last moment, 'Lord, remember me.'" And in the words of Forrest Gump, "I'm going to heaven, Lieutenant Dan." Of course, you probably have never seen that movie. What a great movie. Amen. Heaven. Listen, how do we even understand heaven? Because all the information we have about heaven is only found in God's Word, and there's not a lot of it. And so about the eternal state, going into to the New Jerusalem and so forth. So when you think about heaven, the Bible calls heaven, in one of the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 20, verse 6, and I might be wrong on that, but it calls heaven the holy heaven. You see, heaven is where God dwells. That is God's residency. Heaven is the place where Jesus descended from, returned, ascended back to, and is sitting at the right hand of majesty forever and ever and ever. He appears before God, our Father. Why? Because he always makes intercession for us. He is there for us on our behalf right this very moment. Did you know that heaven, that God has reserved, you have a reservation, God has reserved a place for you in heaven? Let me read. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed is the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope," a hope that is alive, is certain, is sure, it's a fact. In other words, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, meaning it'll never ever perish, undefiled, which means it's beyond the reach of any contamination or any evil for all eternity. And it says that does not fade away. It never, never grows old. And here it is, reserved. That word means guarded by God. Reserved in heaven for you. This morning as we begin, let's start in verse 17. And Paul writes to us, and he talks to the whole church now and to us as well. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example," or "be imitators of me." And he tells us to do something, and the Philippians as well. He says to note, and that word note, loved one, means to mark. Keep your eye continually on. Mark those or note those who so walk as you have us, plural, us, for a pattern. So he's obviously talking about Timothy, Epaphroditus, himself, and other Christians as well. Now listen, when Paul says, you know, be an imitator of me, we know that this is not ego, okay? He's not super prideful at all, because we know what Paul had said previously. He says, I haven't made it. I haven't attained. I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't reached the goal. I'm still, Paul, remember last Sunday, he said, I'm still going from glory to glory to glory. But he says, brethren, listen, come with me. Follow after me. He says, I'm on an adventure, and I am in a race to my homeland. And he's saying, listen, we are all citizens of heaven. And you know what? Paul didn't get there by good works and self-effort, did he? No, and neither are we. We get there through the power of another. Remember, when we get to chapter 4, it says in 13, in chapter 4, it says, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We can only get there by the strength of another. Amen? Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. And so I want you to notice in verse 16, he said, let us walk. Remember from last Sunday. And remember that word means a group of people, meaning, of course, the body of Christ, walking in step by step in unison, and we're all on the same path. I want you to note now, those in verse 18, mark them, note them. Like Paul said, they're not on our path, loved one. He says, for many walk, their lifestyle. He says, for many walk, whom I've told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. What a word. Did Paul practice tolerance? No. Aren't you glad? Was Paul politically correct? No. Who cares? Amen? He says, those people, you are enemies of the cross. Think about that. But here's what's so sad. This epistle of joy, we've never found Paul weeping. And now all of a sudden he's weeping. He is not weeping because of them. He's weeping, loved one, for them. Do you understand? And who are these enemies of the cross? You know, see, we just have what Paul said here. We don't know, were they the Gnostics? And I don't think Gnosticism was barely coming in at that time, you know, that we have the secret information and all of that. Obviously, it must have been the Judaizers. But the fact of the matter is that we know this. One thing is certain, the people that Paul is talking about, these false teachers, they profess Christ. In other words, they have profession, but they do not have practice. They're not believers, okay? They know the Word of God, but they don't live the Word of God. And so Paul says this, look again, he says that I have told you often about these people. Now, this may mean that if you look back to chapter 3, look at verse 2, it may mean those people he was talking about where he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. In other words, they were inside the church, not outside the church. These were the ones that were teaching that had confidence in the flesh, in other words, and not in the finished work of Christ. It was Jesus saved you, but you have to add something to it. Unless you're circumcised, for example, or become a Jew, you cannot really ever be saved. In other words, there has to be a work because Jesus, he's just not enough. So they gloried and boasted in their flesh, what they could do, their works, but they did not boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was calling them enemies, because they were perverting that gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace. Isn't it horrible to be an enemy of the only thing that can save you? Think about that. See, it says when they're enemies, that means they want to destroy the cross. They want to destroy everything that the cross means. They want to destroy the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ Jesus for the sins of the world. Like John cried out, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All mankind, Jesus paid the debt. Amen? Now, with all that being said, we know that they're not citizens. Look in verse 19, citizens of heaven. It says, whose end is what? Destruction. The word end is telos in the Greek. It means that is their ultimate destiny, eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever. It says, whose end is destruction. And watch this one. Whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things, whose God is their belly. Now listen. This is not about overeating, okay? That's not what this is about. In other words, they may like lamb chops, all right? The reason I say that is because they really like sheep. In other words, that was their main course. They fed upon sheep. They fleeced sheep. They wanted to make believers, if you will, an enemy of the cross like they are an enemy of the cross. Does that make sense? And that's what they were doing. So when you use the word belly there, if you studied it out, it literally means appetites or sensual appetites. Like it says in Jude 4 about false teachers, they walk and they live according to their own ungodly lusts. So the belly, these sensual fleshly appetites. Talking about false teachers, Jude says again in Jude 19, he says, these are sensual persons, and they cause divisions, not having the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. Amen? He says in verse 19 again, whose end is destruction, and it goes on down, whose glory, now watch this, whose glory is in their shame, in their shame. Think about that. What is Paul saying? Remember how we've learned when Paul says, everything that I was a tribe of Benjamin, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and all the, what, when we get down to the end, he says, all this was rubbish, remember? It was just dung. It was good to be thrown out. And he says, it's no good. Well, see, that's what these false teachers were boasting in, what Paul said was loss. They were glorifying all that they could do, and everything they did produced shame in their lives and in their walk. Speaking of false teachers, Jude said this in Jude 13. He says, false teachers, they are raging waves of the sea, and they're foaming up their own shame. So these people that Paul is talking about, whoever they are, these false teachers, everything they do is a shame, done in shame. And they're like a raging sea. If you've ever been on the ocean, especially now that there's plastic everywhere in the ocean and filth and all the rest of them, you go to the coast and you see everything that's washed up. Do you take any of that home? Those dead fish, there's so much junk out there. You have to clean a place before you can even sit down. You know what I'm saying? No, that's what they produce, just a bunch of garbage. Now, and they set their minds on earthly things. In other words, they don't practice Philippians 2:5, all right? Let the mind of Christ be in you. They don't do that. So the god of this age has blinded their minds, and they have a mind that is ordered, if you will, by the course of this world, a mind that is conformed to this world, a mind that thinks like the world, believes like the world, acts like the world. And the reason they do it, because they are in love with the world, which means this. 1 John 2:15, it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. They're not born again. See, we're not of this world, amen? It says in James 4:4 that friendship with this world is enmity with God. You're set against God. It says in James 4:4, it says, whoever wants to be a friend of this world makes himself an enemy of God. This world system, that meaning that is antichrist. You know, to have a mind that is unrenewed and not be born again is a carnal mind. The Bible says in Romans 8:5, it says, for because those who live according to the flesh, here comes, set their minds on the things of the flesh or the things of this world. In Romans 8:6, it says, to be carnally minded is death. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity. That means a deep-rooted hatred against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. See, the mind of the flesh, a carnal mind, one that's a person that's not born again, they cannot obey the Lord. They don't want to submit to the Lord. Loved one, listen to me. Every time you hear someone say, I hate God, or Jesus, that's a joke. It's a fairy tale. It is a myth. You just proved that scripture that I just read. You understand? You know, I hear people cursing God all the time, but very few people I think I ever heard, you know, say, curse the devil. You know what I mean? But they curse God. They curse the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 1:21, it says, for you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he's reconciled us. Amen to that. Listen, we once were the same because we were lost. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now what do? The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:1, it says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, meaning where Christ sits, we're seeking a person. It says, sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not things upon the earth. Boy, citizens of heaven, we seek things above. And if we don't seek things above, we'll never live above this world that we live in. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you? Everything is in heaven. Everything we need is there, and it manifests upon this planet. Amen? All we have to do is seek him, and that's what he's saying. So they're enemies of the cross. They're not citizens of heaven. One of the great Puritans said this, these are the people who love God in their mouth, but the world is in their hearts. And now we come to our text this morning. It says in verse 20, for our, not those in verse 19, but our citizenship, think of that, is in heaven. You know, the world doesn't have a biblical worldview, does it? No, but you know, we must have a biblical worldview. Every person that has been born in this world becomes a citizen of this world where Satan rules. He's the god of this age, isn't he? And listen now, he has a kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness. And more than that, what does Satan do? He enslaves citizens of this world because they're already in the slavery of sin because they're still in Adam. Does that make sense? But man, when a person is born from above, a transfer in citizenship takes place. Colossians 1:13, it says, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated or over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Man, we are citizens of heaven right this very minute, and we have never even been there. Do you understand? There is a place for us right now. Now we're the temple of God. We're sealed. We're adopted, partakers of his divine nature, and our citizenship, and loved one, in verse 20 now, listen, that doesn't say it's future. It means it is, to a believer, it is a present reality this very moment. Ephesians 2:6, we have been seated together with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Amen? Now, that is our position right now as far as God is concerned, although we haven't experienced that yet. But the thing about it is, in verse 20, where it says our citizenship is in heaven, that word citizenship carries us back to, it's found in Philippians 1:27. Let me read it to you. It's the same word in the Greek. It says, only let your conduct, there's that word, citizenship, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Remember, I don't know if you remember or not, that was the first command in Philippians. It says, behave like a citizen of heaven. Live like a citizen of heaven. That way you're walking worthy. Remember Ephesians 4:1, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of your calling, worthy, a set of weights, equal in doctrine, equal in application. Hear the word of God, do the word of God. If not, you're not balanced in your walk. And so when we look at that, literally that conduct means not only behave as citizens, but live in this world just as you are. In other words, as citizens of heaven. And we're to live in this world with all the benefits of our citizenship. Listen to me now. The Bible is very clear. It says, what does Paul say in Ephesians 1:3? He says, thanks be unto God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed us, who has pronounced us blessed, okay, with every, say that word every, Every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. In other words, the blessing is not when we get to heaven, loved one. The blessing is right now. We are so blessed, there's not anything else God can bless us with. Amen? And not only that, he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, guess what happens? We've overcome this world just like Christ has overcome this world. Have you ever watched PBS? I don't know. I like PBS. Some of the stuff that they put, the nature shows, and you know, when the alligators eat the little deer and all this, really good, you know? But there is a show on there that I watch when I'm watching TV. His name is Rick Steves. I don't know if you ever, he's the guy that does the guide to Europe. Has all those books, and he's always eating at these places and visiting his place, telling you where to stay and watch out for the culture here. And if you go to this place, don't do that because it'll offend people. He tells you the do's and don'ts and the best deals and so forth. Amen? Now listen to me. I said all of that. He tells us the do's and don'ts because we're not citizens of those nations that we go to. Does that make sense? See, that's a foreign country. You know, and you'll find out when you go to foreign countries, their food is different, you know, and thank God, our food is horrible. I mean, you know, there's more to life than barbecue, you know what I mean? No, and you go and you learn new things and what not to do and what, you know, irritates people and so forth. Well, listen, here's the deal. We are living right now on foreign soil. Amen? Listen, this is not our home. We have no continuing city here. We're looking for one that is coming. We're resident aliens right now in a post-Christian culture on a land that is not ours. And the reason I mentioned Rick Steves is because he has a manual on how to make it in Europe. Well, we have the only manual in the world that tells us how to live in this foreign land that we're in. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Bible. It tells us what to do, what to avoid, what not to do, how to please God. Are you following me? It's the only Bible, the only book, manual that we need. And so as citizens of heaven on this foreign soil, in this foreign land, loved one, we are to display to them the life that is transformed by the power of God. Amen? The new creation that we are. Now listen, citizens of heaven. You know, I was thinking about all the riots and the problems that are having right now. And I was thinking about how many Christians are dying around the world and how in one country, for example, Christians are forced to do one job, clean their sewer. That's all they do. They're down way into the ground and all Christians have to clean the sewer in this one nation. Loved one, listen to me. Christians are dying all over the world. Did you know that? The persecution is true and real. See, we're citizens of heaven, but Christians' lives don't really matter in this world. They're dying.
Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.